Bibles to Psalms 119. I want to read from a couple places in this psalm. I want to read verse 50 first. Psalms 119 and 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. Now down to verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. And I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked hath waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought on what is the reason that you serve God? What is the why? Why are you serving God? What's your reason? We shouldn't do it because we're afraid of going to hell. Because if you're coming to church thinking, well, I'll attend church that way I won't go to hell, you've got the wrong idea. That's not going to keep you from going to hell. And you can't serve God out of fear. That's not, fear is how the devil works. But God doesn't, he wants you to reverence him. God don't want you to be afraid of him. You know, when a parent corrects their child, they want their child to listen to them. They want the child to respect them. They want them to take the correction, but they don't want to do it in a way that makes them afraid of them. And whenever you do it in a way that makes them afraid of you, you're failing. And, of course, we all made mistakes. We've all probably made a mistake in that area at some time or another. I often say when children are born, unlike a car, they don't come with the owner's manual. So, you know, you can't always, each child's different. There isn't a set down formula that each child's going to follow. The more children you've raised, you realize every one of them's different. And they've got different ways and different ways of thinking. And, you know, you could maybe look at one and say, well, it seems like they think like their daddy does. Or the other one say, well, she thinks like her mama. Or he thinks like his uncle. You know, the bad uncle of the bunch, you know. But what's our reason for serving God? There's a song that I've just recently been introduced to. And in the song, it talks about all the blessings that we have. We have family, we have friends. They're all a big part within our lives, but all those things can fail us. Your Your friends can fail you. Your family can fail you. But Christ will never fail you. Jesus Christ will never fail you. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Even to the end of the world. Amen. I think of, we may have tried different ways, perhaps before we come to the Lord, of finding happiness. We might have tried finding it in another religion. We may have tried finding it in things of the world. But after a while, you come to realize there's no real happiness in that. Having a lot of money, there's no real happiness in that. Sometimes people who don't have much think, well, if I had a lot of money, that'd solve all my problems. I often think of Elvis Presley. And I know compared to maybe the millionaires and billionaires of today, he wouldn't have, or what his estate has become, he wasn't worth as much when he was living. But for the time era that he was living in, he had plenty. And, you know, he was famous. He was popular. And all those things, but there was something that you could see that was missing from his life. Because in many of his concerts, they say that he would end them with some type of religious song. How great thou art, or he is my everything. And you could see he was searching for something. And he wasn't happy. He was a miserable individual. He turned to drugs and different things to try to deal with his depression and his moods and all these things. And yet he had money, he had fame, he had popularity, but those things don't make you happy. All the things the world can offer you, there's not one of those things that can make you happy. Oh, I know the Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season. But remember, it's only for a season. When Eve was talked to by the serpent, it says she looked on it and found it pleasant to the eyes. But look what it did. Eve would have lived forever. But her body began to die when she partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when she didn't listen to the word of God. But did it look pleasurable? Yes. Sometimes things in the world, you say, well, it makes me feel good. But there's no happiness in it because, you know, somebody who drinks will say, well, I drink because it makes me feel good, but it wears off. And everything you've got, every problem you ever had is still there facing you. You can't drink it away. You can't smoke it away. You can't drug it away. You can't imagine it away. You can't just take yourself into some kind of fantasy world, you know, and say, well, I'll just pretend like it doesn't exist. They're there. But there is one who has a solution for every problem, and that is Jesus. He has a solution for every problem. Why do I serve God? Because he's quickened me. That's what I just read in Psalms. Because his word quickened me. That's my reason. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read, start at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Look at there. We were in this world, we were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, there was no hope within inside ourselves. There was nothing the world could offer us that would relieve us from this being dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, if we remain in our trespasses and sin, then the only thing that was left for us was death. That's the only future we had. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also have our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were dead, but he quickened us. I like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for the love wherein he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved. And raises us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Think about it. Friends, there is yet more for us to comprehend about his grace. We sing the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. But there is even more to understanding his grace. Grace that would reach down to individuals who, friends, if you or I, either one would be God, we probably would be a lot of people we'd have never even looked at. But God, who is rich in mercy, and his love wherein he loved us, and he extended grace to us. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It ain't through anything that we've done. Think about that. Think about if you were a member of a religion whereby they placed on you things you had to do in order to be worthy. You got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do the other. Say so many Hail Marys, so many Our Fathers. Oh, but it ain't just the Catholics. There's a lot of legalists. They live by a law, thinking that'll please Christ, thinking that'll please God. Well, if I wear a long dress, and I know we should, if I wear a long dress and have long hair and wear flat-soled shoes, I'm going to heaven. There's going to be a lot of flat-soled people in hell. Because it takes more than what you wear to get you to heaven. That's not what puts you in heaven. But it's, have you been quickened? Has something happened down inside your heart? Has something changed you? Look, if something's happened down in the heart, eventually the it's going to show up on the outside. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, you know, that we don't have standards and so forth and all. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. What's important is that that heart has been changed. You don't have to beg and nurse people along to live right. If their heart gets changed, they'll do it because it's just coming out naturally. You ever heard Brother Brandon mention about hothouse plants? I've seen a lot of hothouse plants. Anybody know what that is? They raise these, when I was growing up, used to find these places to sell hothouse tomatoes. You get tomatoes any time of the year. But they had to be nursed inside a set environment, inside a nursery somewhere. And if they weren't just took care of just right or whatever, why, you wouldn't end up with any tomatoes that rot. I've seen a lot of hot house church members. Just to get them to come to church, you got to baby them. You got to give them a bottle. You got to change their diaper. You got to baby them and take care of them and, just make them feel good. You know, compliment them every once in a while. You know, make sure that they get to sing every service. Hot house Christians. God doesn't want any hothouse Christians. He's not going to baby us along. But if there's been a change happen on the inside of the heart, you don't have to baby people. You don't have to baby them and beg them to come to church. They'll come to church because there's something in their heart and their soul that has come alive. Not anything that we've done. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Whew. Isn't it good to be ordained? You know, when Satan comes to you and tells you, you ain't gonna make it. Look at how terrible you are. Look at all the mistakes you make. And believe me, friends, he's always there to point out every one of your faults. Whether he points it out in your mind or gets in somebody else's flesh and points it out to you. I don't need somebody coming pointing out my faults. The thing about it is, somebody is pointing, what they say, you point the finger, you got four of them pointing back at you. Need to look in the mirror. Sometimes people's hoeing somebody else's garden when they got weeds taller than plants in theirs. I remember hearing a preacher say years ago, he said, people talk about, you know, people shouting and screaming in church and so on. He said, oh, that's wildfire. What about if it's wildfire? He said, don't worry about it. We got enough wet blankets around this message. You can put it out. We do. Critics. Critics on every hand. I like what Theodore Roosevelt said, it ain't the critic who counts. It's the man that's in the arena that's doing it. He's the one that counts. The one through sweat and blood tries and fails and tries and fails but gets up again. Hallelujah. And when Satan says you ain't going to make it, say, oh, I know better than that because I'm ordained to make it. All he's pointing out is things about your flesh anyway. And this flesh is going to pass away. Boy, I tell you what, I'll be so glad, Brother Jim, when I don't got to fight this flesh no more. We fight this flesh all the time. And fight evil thoughts that Satan tries to bring into your mind. And you got to fight those things. Sometimes then Satan will say, well, that was your thought. See what you just thought? And it was something he put in there. Because that's the battleground he chose. To fight you in your mind. I think that's why we've got a lot of people today that's got so much mental illness. Because of Satan. Turn me to Colossians chapter 2. I'm ordained because he went to the cross. Hallelujah. I don't have to die in my sins because he took my sins and died for me. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I love that. He has forgiven me all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Friends, I'll tell you something. Brother Branham talks about, he says, when you're born, there's a book that gets started on you. In some places he calls it a book, and in other places, Brother Branham calls it a recording. But it gets started of you, and there's, the Bible talks about God speaking about, write this, I'm writing this in a book of remembrance so I'll never forget it. God wrote about the things that the Amorites did to the children of Israel, said, so I won't forget it. I'll not forget it. And there's a book that's being wrote on our lives. But this scripture right here says that the handwriting has been blotted out. All those bad things you ever did, he blotted it out. Oh, praise God. How could somebody not serve a God like that? Which was contrary to us and took it out of the way. How did he do it? Nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah. He nailed it to his cross. Every trespass, every sin. Oh, hallelujah. He nailed it to his cross. Praise God. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Whew, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Branham, we know he tells that story, and we sing a song about it, about the little eaglet that was in the chicken yard. You know, and he hears when that great big eagle come flying over, screaming out, he heard that scream. Friends, there was something in him. He didn't, when he tried to cluck, it didn't come out right. That's the way it was when we were tried to be in the world. We tried to cluck, and it just didn't sound right, didn't come out right. That's the way we were when we were, some of you was in other religions. And he tried to speak like them, cluck like them, but it wasn't coming out right. Why? Because an eagle wasn't made to cluck. And he was born an eagle. He never was a chicken. So he had trouble trying to act like the chickens. And the chickens, they're just happy with scratching around, you know, and scratching them grain on things off the ground. But that eagle, there was something in him that wanted more. You might have been in another church or another religion somewhere, but it wasn't feeding you. There was something in you that said, there's got to be more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? That word, then that word flashed across you. Maybe you heard your first tape. Maybe somebody witnessed to you about God sent a prophet. Maybe somebody witnessed to you about, look, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't a God of history. He's a God of today. Hallelujah. And when you heard that, something in you took a hold. Something took a hold of that. And you know what, friends? You might have thought, well, I got to search. I'm going to have to look into this. But really, it didn't take you looking into it for something to quicken you. It quickened you because there was something in you to be quickened. There was a life in there to be quickened. There had to be, or you'd have never been quickened. It's like Paul when he was on the road and a great light come and appeared before him. And he said, Lord, because he knowed that pillar of fire was God. He said, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. Paul came face to face with the word. And it quickened something inside of Paul. And he was never the same. This is the man that stood there and held the coat of Stephen while they stoned him. Stood there and held his coat while they stoned Stephen. Do you know one time Paul got stoned? Yes, sir. He got stoned for preaching the same gospel Stephen preached. Yes, Paul survived it. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. We were predestinated sons and daughters of God. He knew me. Knew everything about me. Knew everything I would be. Knew everything that you would do. He knew everything. There's nothing in your life. You know what? You might hide some things. You might have hide some things from me. People might have hide things from other people and so on. But you can't hide nothing from God. He's an all-seeing eye that watches everything that's going on. And he saw all that. And still knew you would come. He did not predestinate us by our goodness. Our levels of how good we were. Aren't you so happy? I'm happy he did not predestinate me according to how good I could be, because friends, I tell you what, I'd be predestinated for hell. But there was a life inside there. He knew I belonged to him. He knew you belonged to him. Sometimes them old clucky chickens in the church, they look around, you know, them old, I call them old biddies, all the time gossiping about different things and different people. I've known some in my life. They ain't got nothing good to say about nobody. They might have looked at you and said, ain't got a chance. No way. But God looked at you and said, you belong to me. You're one of mine. And he saved you in spite of them old biddies. I don't mean to sound sexist. There's men that way too. Brother Branham also tells a story about a little duck. This duck was born with a bunch of chickens. Now, friends, chickens, you can put water out for them and they came over and they'll drink it or whatever, but that's about as far as it goes. They ain't getting in it. But a duck, I've raised little ducks. I remember I had these little bitty old yellow ducks and I took a pan that was about like that deep. You know, I got from the store. And it was about this big around, about that deep. And I put it in there where I had them. And, man, they dove down in there, swimming underwater and everything else. Never saw water before in their life. Brother Bram said that's the way that little duck was. He's with the chickens. He'd never saw water, was born in the chicken yard. But one day he smelled the water. Brother Bram said one day he came to himself. And that's what happened to you. One day you were dead in trespass and sin. You were living for the devil. You were doing all kinds of wrong things. But one day you came to yourself and it made a change. And you're not the same person you used to be. Something about when you get change, you look around, the whole world looks different. Whew. It's like you're looking through different eyes. You look at other people differently. You don't look at them through critical eyes. You look at them through eyes of grace. I used to be like that, but something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. I didn't get a hold of something. Something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Something about when you meet God face to face. What is it? That seed that's in you, and you come face to face with the real thing. And that little seed comes to life. I often talk about the woman at the well. I love that story. I preached on it so many different ways. I preached on it at Christmas one year. I preached on the well of Jacob, because that's where she came to, was the well of Jacob. She come down there, friends, and she was in an awful shape. She had been married 5 times. Now, today, you know, amongst the world, that's nothing. They used to say, and I won't mention her name, but they used to say a joke about one actress said they could feed the starving countries with all the rice from her weddings. It ain't nothing today, but it still is to us. But back then, she was really looked down upon. And not only that, but she was shacking up. Because Jesus said, you've had 5, and the one you're with now ain't yours. She was in an awful shape. I imagine the priest of the temple would walk by there, except because also she was a Samaritan. And they'd stick their nose up there walking by her. She ain't got a chance. Filthy woman. Hallelujah. Oh, but Jesus, he saw something different. You see, he was one of her lost thoughts. She was one of his lost thoughts. She was redeemable. It ain't how good you have been. Well, I've had people tell me, well, I never smoked, I never drank, I never ran around on my wife, I never lied, I never cheated, never been in jail. They especially like to mention that last one. None of that means anything. That just means you're a good moral person. But good morals won't get you into heaven. If good morals would get you into heaven, then Jesus died in vain. She had a representation there was a life down in there. There was something down in there to be brought to life when that word, Jesus, passed across her path. It quickened something within inside of her. Friends, I love that story. I'll tell you what. I got so low down, I often said my testimony was I got lower than dirt. That's how low I got. Low down. But there was something inside of me that got quickened when I came to the Lord. I remember one time I was about 17 years old. Mom and Dad had went with some other people to Jeffersonville for Easter. And I was working. So I was left at home by myself. I just had me a big time. Mom and Dad's gone. The things I normally snuck around and did, I could just do them right there because they're gone. And I went out and sat on the old wood pile where we had piled up wood that I had to split yet. I sat out there and I was drinking and smoking. And I leaned back on that old wood pile and it was like a vision opened before me in heaven. And it was like I could see the face of the Lord Jesus. And it was so sad. And he was just shaking his head. Oh, I tell you, it done something to me. I got rid of all that stuff. I got down by that wood pile and I said, God, if you'll just forgive me. If you'll just forgive me. But it took more. It took more than that. Because I wasn't ready to surrender all my life to him at that time. I thought I was, but I was holding stuff back. Held back desires. I wasn't going to fulfill them, but I still had them. You got to surrender all to him. I'll tell you something, friends. When it came alive in me. Something changed me. And I thank God for the change. Satan can't tell me I ain't gonna make it because I know better. I know there's something that had come alive in me that wasn't there before. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Hallelujah. Paul, now I want you to catch this. Paul had been the greatest persecutor of the original Christian church. He was the greatest persecutor of it. But Paul did it all through ignorance, thinking what he was doing was right. Paul was a zealous individual. When he was just a young boy, they had sent him to sit under Gamaliel to be taught the ways of Judaism, to be taught the law. And Paul observed the law. And he was, in his own words, a Pharisee among Pharisees. When it come to Judaism, he was spotless. But he was the greatest persecutor the church ever knew. But here he's writing, and what he's saying, by saying, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. What he's saying is, I don't have any regrets. I don't have any regrets. Why? Because he met Jesus, and it changed something on the inside of him. Philippians chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me finish where I was reading. Verse 8, it said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, think about that. Paul said, there's nothing that I am ashamed. You'll never regret giving your life to the Lord. If you don't, then one day you'll have a great regret. You'll regret that you had the opportunity and just let it go on by you. I don't want to be around for that. Nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. Hallelujah. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for me to die, I gain a new body. Hallelujah. I get free of this old mind where Satan tries to torment us. Hallelujah. Oh, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul said. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nonetheless, abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. You ever think about just, what if you could just right now just go on to be with the Lord? Not have to wait on the rapture. Just be done with this. You know, there's people that come to that. My dad, right before he died, he told my mom, he said, I'm just tired. He said, I'm just so tired of it all. He was ready. He was tired of all he had to face. He was tired of the fight. He was tired of it. He just wanted to go home to be with the Lord. But I think when I thought about that for myself, that I think about, but how many people need me to stay here? I think about my kids. I think about my grandkids. I think about the church. And you get caught, Paul said, betwixt the two. You'd like to go on, But you know you need to stay. Romans chapter 12. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Brother Branham said in 1962, he said, I regret that I only have one life to give for this gospel. He said, if I had 1,000 lives to give, I'd give every one of them for this gospel. A living sacrifice. That's what that means. Giving your life for the furtherance of Christ. Brother Branham said, there's a lifeline that passes over. And he said, when it comes over you, you need to reach out and get a hold of that lifeline. He said, it's the other end of it's connected to heaven. When God's knocking at your heart's door, don't ignore that knock. Don't ignore it. But give heed to it. Open up and let him come in. Abraham says, there's only one regret I have, and it's I did not open up to him sooner. That I didn't give my life to him sooner. He actually says in one place, he says, I regret that I didn't become a minister when I was 5 years old. There's coming a time when I have to give an account for my life here on earth. And I try to be honest, since from the sincerity of my heart, I try to be faithful to Jesus Christ. But at that day, I have no regret. At that day, when it comes time, I'll be ready. I want to be ready to go. I believe he's coming. I believe the rapture. I believe we're in a cycle of it now. And I believe we're getting close to the dead in Christ rising, friends. I look for them just any day. And you know what? When they rise, it's too late to get ready then. Because the Bible said, when we see him, we'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Now, that's pretty fast. We'll be changed from this old vile mortal body to take on immortality in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Quicker than you can snap your finger. You'll blink and you'll be changed. change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, heaven means a lot to me. I got a lot to go to heaven for, as the song says. I've got loved ones, as the other song says, waiting on that shore. I got loved ones waiting on me. I got loved ones I'm longing to see again. My grandfather was took from me too early. He was only 54 years old. When the Lord took him, he got took from me too early. I was only 12. My brother wasn't born till a year afterwards. I got church family. People that was in this assembly that's went on to be with the Lord. And I miss them. I still look at the seats where they sit, see it empty, and I miss them. Heaven means everything to me, and making it means everything. And it ought to you. It ought to you. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, thankful, Lord, for how you spoke to us today. Thank you, God, for your anointing, Lord, upon me. Lord, where I can deliver what you put on my heart, dear God. Lord, you're my reason for living. Hallelujah. As the song says, oh, what a reason. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, God, that this word will take a hold in every life and heart here this morning, dear God. May it echo through their minds, Lord, through the coming weeks, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you, Father, will those young ones that have come and give their life to the Lord, strengthen them in their walk, Lord. Help them to get their focus on you and not on other things and the things of life, but get their focus on you. Hallelujah. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God.